I have the amazing, wonderful, spectacular, funny man, Zach, on the phone with me right now. Are you there?
I'm here, yeah. I'm looking forward to living up to my introduction.
I know, right? It's like you have to be funny. That's exactly all that you can be. It's a lot of pressure on you. Yeah. I just
slipped on a banana peel while you were saying that. So,
but ba-dum-ching.
More of a visual thing.
Next time we'll do it on video so people can actually see. So I wanted to give a little bit of background of, you know, how I met you, where I met you. I met you, 6 months ago at a meeting we were having. And you were talking about creating this program about how to tap into your humor and how to make yourself funny or learn to be funny. And I thought that it was one of the most interesting products I'd heard about because I'd never heard of that before. Nobody was teaching that skill set, and I know that it's one that everybody wants, mainly because when you ask women what are they attracted to, usually one of the top three things they say are sense of humor. Not really knowing what sense of humor means, but sense of humor is one of their top three characteristics. So I knew that it would be valuable to my guys, so I'm happy to have you here so that you can tell my guys how to be funny.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. It is, you know, all women say that they're looking for a guy with a sense of humor. But as you mentioned, we're not even really sure what that is. And if we, you know, if it means being funny, no one's ever taught us really how to do that. And there's this myth out there that it's something you're either born with, you know, or you either have or you don't.
Yeah.
And, I think a lot of comedians, support that idea that it's something you're either born with or you're not, because they don't want other people to, you know, figure out exactly what it is that they're doing.
I kind of agree with you. Actually, I have a friend who is a comedian over in Los Angeles. And not that he wants to keep it hidden from the general public, but I do know for a fact that he actually really learned to own his skill. Like, he was kind of naturally funny, but in a way that may have only been targeted towards a small audience. But over the years, he has, like, really learned how to create humor for the masses rather than just for the select few. So even though you are saying that they're keeping it secret, my point is trying to say that it definitely is a learned skill, and even the best of the best of people who consider themselves comedians still have to learn how to improve that skill. So let's talk about your program and why you're funny and why you know what you're talking about.
Sure. Well, you know, I think that, you know, the common story that you hear from you know, guys that teach dating is that I was terrible with women at one point in my life, and I absolutely was. And there were a number of things which I learned which really help me, but the big breakthrough, the big turning point for me, the thing that got me the most leverage when I first started out was humor.
Really?
And prior to that, I'd been, you know, I was kind of a funny guy, but I would joke around a fair bit. But it wasn't leading to attraction. It wasn't leading to, you know, women wanting to be with me. And I'd heard, just like, you know, a lot of the guys have heard, like, you'd heard all women are saying they're looking for a guy with a sense of humor. So I would be this funny guy, and I'd even have women telling me that, you know, I was a really funny guy. You're the funniest guy I know. And yet they didn't want to have anything to do with me other than as a friend.
Or entertainer. So it's like,
as an entertainer, exactly.
You're funny, but I don't want to sleep with you. I want to sleep with that guy.
Yeah,
okay.
And so yet they're saying that they want a guy with a sense of humor. So it wasn't until I discovered that there was actually a difference between the kind of humor that, you know, women are attracted to and the kind that they're not, that I started getting results. And so when I applied, applied what I'd learned about that, you know, women started treating me in an entirely different way.
Really?
And then I started teaching a number of years ago, and I found that humor was the one part that was missing in a lot of guys, and I knew I could teach it. I knew I could reverse engineer what it is I'd been doing. I could break it down. One of the things, Marnie, I don't know if we've talked about this, but, you know, what I've spent the last 20 years of my life doing is learning about the science of learning, right? How to break things down, how to systematize things so that people can acquire skills very rapidly. And I knew that humor was just a skill like any other, that when a comedian's making a joke, they're using a formula whether they're aware of it or not. And I think a lot of comedians are not aware of the formulas they use. But if you spelled it out for them, they say, "Yeah, that's absolutely, you know, what it is that I'm doing." But our brains go through a process, and we follow these rules unconsciously. So I've just brought them to consciousness, so other guys can follow them, and you know, get the women they deserve.
That's actually really interesting. So okay, so for yourself, you were doing it on your own, learning these skills. But so what was like the first thing that you did to learn how to be funny, like to differentiate between being funny and being funny for women?
Well, it was, you know, you remember a number of years ago, cocky comedy or being cocky and funny was really popular. And that was my introduction to the whole idea of being funny without, you know, without being a clown. And so I did that for a little while, and it worked fairly well. But I found that there were a few, not problems with it, but I found that not all women responded to that exact kind of humor.
Okay.
And then I found as time went on that a lot of guys kind of figured out or had heard about cocky comedy and were trying it out, and it became old. It became, you know, expected, and you know, when something's expected, it's not funny anymore.
Right.
So I realized that it was just that cocky comedy was just a very small part of what I call high status humor. Which is the kind of humor that high status men use, and that there was a whole range of things that I could do that would set that same dynamic up. But since I had a number of them, you know, one of the metaphors that I use is for something like and cocky comedy is great. It really helped me out. But if you only know one chord on the guitar and you play it over and over and over again, people are going to get pretty sick of you.
Right.
But if you know just maybe eight chords, you know, not even that many, but if you know eight or, you know, eight minor and, you know, eight major chords, you can play pretty much every song there is and you can vary them. And okay. So by having a few different formulas that you can rely on, you keep people guessing, and it maintains that element of being unexpected, which is really, really key for humor. If there's no surprise, if something's anticipated, it's just not funny.
So you're not just the sarcastic guy. You're the witty guy, sarcastic guy, intelligently funny guy. I don't even know eight other types of comedy,
yeah, well, it depends,
but something like that.
It depends on, you know, certain types work better with certain guys. Certain guys gravitate more towards one, you know, way of joking around. And certain women respond to different kinds. There are a lot of women that don't respond to cocky.
Right.
You know, even if it is cocky and funny, they're kind of turned off by that sort of thing. So for someone like that, you would use something that's a little more, how would I say this? Something that doesn't have that cocky frame, but still has a confident frame or a high status frame to it.
Right. So I'll tell you, when I first met you, I thought you were hilarious. Not in like the put your tap shoes on and dance for me entertainer type of hilarious, but in exactly what you're talking about, there was a high status humor where I did feel attraction towards you because of the type of humor that you were displaying to me. And what I consider it, I know obviously you have your own product and your own name, but I consider it like confident, intelligent humor where you could be goofy and childish, but you were still so composed and mature, and you were just showing me, not like trying to show me, but you showed me that you could also be a really fun person at the same time. So like I will tell you that I know your methods work because I did feel an attraction. So it definitely not work, I don't want to say worked, because it's who you've become. It's who you are now. It's not like you're just trying to use a tactic on me.
Exactly. It starts off as a technique, and then it just becomes part of who you are. And it's just so much fun that you just use it all the time. It's not like
With men and women,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
because that's the thing. You were using the same things you used at me towards the other guys that were in the room as well, which is something that I actually found more attractive, to tell you the truth, that it was consistent with who you were and it wasn't just being targeted towards me.
Right. One of the things that that I don't, you may or may not have been aware of, was that one of the things that I learned was that you may have noticed that I would joke and then I would be serious.
Yes.
And I could turn it on and I could turn it off. And one of the problems that I used to have, this was my big thing, I used to be always joking. So everything, my mind was constantly working, trying to come up with the next one-liner, trying to come up with the funniest thing to say. And it just came across as if I was needy for attention, as if I needed the laughs for my self-esteem,
right,
as opposed to enjoying being with people and something funny happens and it pops into your mind and you share it with everybody.
Plus it's exhausting for you.
plus it's exhausting.
And
yeah,
even exhausting for the people around you. Because I can say that for me, when I'm out at a bar or I'm at somewhere social and there is somebody that I break into conversation with, a guy or even a girl sometimes, but mainly for men, and there's banter and it's fun. Banter is enjoyable for like a minute to 2 minutes. And then after, if there's nothing else that's solid or, as you said, a little bit more serious to show your real personality rather than just being on the entire time, I get really bored. And I'm just like, is this all you have? Like, you're just an entertainer. So great, I'm going to go try and find somebody else with. If I want to be entertained, I'll come back and you can do a dance for me again. Like, that's kind of how I think about it.
Exactly. So the thing about high status humor is you can just use it as a spice. It's
Love
not
it.
That you need to have, you know, one hilarious comment after another. But if you come over and you start a conversation and you make a woman laugh right off the bat, and then you just talk normally, have, you know, talk about, you know, what the normal stuff that we're sort of taught not to talk about sometimes,
yeah,
but you just get to know her. And then, you know, every few minutes, if something occurs to you, you comment on it and it's funny. That's really all you need. It's not, you don't need to be a stand-up comedian. You don't need to be kind of on all the time.
Well, because I think that the type of humor that women actually like, actually, I'm going to take a step back. I did auditions recently for new wing girls. And so I was asking them, you know, what is the top three characteristics that you find attractive in men? And most of them said sense of humor. And I said, what does that mean? And each of them had a different description for what sense of humor actually meant. But overall, they said someone who can have fun and laugh at life, but can also be have a balance of being serious and responsible and mature. So what they're exactly what you're saying, they're not looking for the overall entertainer. It is this nice balance. So I was watching your program because I like to watch all the programs that I promote for, or else it's just fake. But So I watched your program, and I actually, the first thing that caught me, and I was like, wait a second, is this really happening, was when you were actually very serious during your instructions. Like, because the format is, it's you instructing people. It's like a classroom. People had come to, you know, a seminar with you, and you filmed that seminar, and you broken it down into specific weeks of how you're going to instruct. And I was like, whoa, how can this guy be teaching funny if he's not even being funny right now? But then I was like, wait a second, this is actually really smart, because it's saying, you know, what you just said and what I just said, you don't have to be funny all the time. But more importantly, that it's nice to see that somebody who does have like a sincere, slightly serious nature still has the ability to learn this skill. I think if you popped up on the screen and you were already like Mr. Funny Pants, I think it actually would have, I thought, you know, turned me off a little bit. So it was nice to see, and even like talking to you on the phone, you're not like cracking joke after joke. You're being serious about what it is that you're teaching. And the fact thing is, you cannot turn on, but you can also have this person with a sense of humor.
Yeah, exactly.
So I liked it. So one of the pieces that I saw within this program, and I don't, you know, hopefully I'm not giving away too much, but there was an exercise that you were doing where you were telling people to, like, how to look at things so that you can put them into the mind space of observing and noticing things that you can bring into your comical world or into your sense of humor. And so you showed them a picture of this coffee shop, and you asked them to list things. Oh, I totally forget what it is now.
Sure, I can talk about this.
Yeah, yeah, please. Sorry, I don't mean to do that yet. Please, tell
the,
your
program. Humor starts with observation, and that's whether you're writing a joke for stand-up comedy or, you know, for a TV show, writing a sitcom or whatever, but especially if it's social humor, right? If you're joking around with friends, you know, the guy who's has that confident, intelligent sense of humor that you're talking about doesn't have a bunch of memorized jokes that he, you know, spouts off at a party. he reacts to what's going on around him in a funny way.
Right.
So the first thing that you need to learn how to do is you need to know what to look for. Because all jokes, as I said, they're all based on observation. They all have a target, right? You're always joking about something. And the first skill is to learn to recognize these targets. So exactly, I take them through an exercise where they look at a picture. You can look at a bunch of pictures and you ask yourself these questions. You know, one of them, for example, is, you know, what sucks here, right? Yeah. If you're looking at a picture of a coffee shop and you look and it's got just a terrible paint job, or, you know, one of the chairs is missing a leg, there's your target right there. It's quite easy. And it sounds quite obvious after I say it, but I think when we get nervous, especially, you know, if you're approaching a girl you're attracted to, that's the time where your focus narrows and it's harder to think of things to say. So what I do is I train my students to walk into a room and look around and observe things, you know, right off the bat. So let's say, I personally don't go to a lot of bars or clubs, but go to a bar, and bars and clubs are great for this, or restaurants, because they decorate them intentionally to stand out and to have their own individual character. So when I'm, you know, if I'd be out with a student, we'd walk in and I'd turn to him and say, okay, three things, observe three things that you could use as a target that you could joke about. And then they have those in their back pocket during the conversation, so that if things kind of slow down and they're not sure what to talk about, they can turn towards the, you know, I'm just off the top of my head, I'm thinking it was actually when I met you, Marnie, this might have been the last time that I went to a bar, because I've got a young baby at home. So I went out with one of the guys afterwards, and they had these lights on the side of the room with tiny cutouts, silhouettes of dancers about six inches high.
Really?
So yeah, it's just like a picture, you know, just a in the light fixture, there was this silhouette of a girl.
Okay.
So I was talking to some girls and I just turned and said, how do you think they got the tiny dancers in there? Or I can't remember what we said, you know, how much do they pay the tiny dancers? Did they get paid more or less than the big dancers? And we had this whole kind of fun interaction about that. And that only came about because I knew to look around and see what I could notice, what stands out, you know, what jumps to mind. So yeah, absolutely. In the program, we do an exercise that starts to train your brain to notice these things. So they just pop out at you. You know, you start off asking the questions, but after a while you walk down the street and they just jump out at you. You know, it's like when you're, you know, shopping for a car and you're looking at this make and model of car and you're studying it, and then you walk out and all you can see is this model of car everywhere. Everywhere you go, it just pops into your attention. It's a similar sort of thing.
So I love that. So that's how the rest of your program is broken down. It's like just specific weeks. So it teaches you to actually, I call it working a muscle. But if you put everything to practice, which hopefully the people who purchase, you know, this program from you would do, I can see how you would actually learn to not only have a sense of humor, but really learn how to open your eyes up to the rest of the world and see it for what it is. Mm-hmm. So I think there's like a dual purpose to the program, but I found myself practicing observations after I was watching that video and I walked into a bar. So I'm like, okay, well, let's see if this works. And I feel like I do this naturally anyway, but I was like, okay, what sucks? What's like missing here? And just like, again, have those observational tools in your back pocket so that you can whip them out as needed. So that if you get nervous and you can't think of something to say, if the conversation isn't naturally flowing, then you at least have something.
Exactly. And that's what we want, is a conscious technique we can come back to for those moments where it's not coming naturally. Because exactly, as you said, you do this naturally. A lot of people do this naturally when they're in the right mood, when they're in the right frame of mind, when they're with the right people. And I think pretty much everyone's experienced that feeling of being on where they're really, you know, where they're funny and where people are enjoying them. And the problem is not being able to do that once in a while. The difficulty is doing consistently and doing it when you're really nervous, you know, when the stakes are high. And that's where the conscious technique goes in. So
I love it. Can you give maybe one more tip and then we'll wrap it up? But yeah, one more actionable tip that men
sure, can use something that the guys can go out and try.
Yeah.
There's something, this is a really easy one. which is why it's one, you know, I'll share it now because it doesn't involve, it's not like a three-step formula or anything like that. They're all fairly simple, but sometimes there's a few steps to it. And so this one is called accusation humor.
Okay.
And it's a great way for starting conversations. It's great when you first met somebody. And all it is you're simply accusing her of something absurd.
Okay.
Right? Preferably something that ties in with the environment, right? If you walk up and say, you know, I know you stole a unicorn, that's not really relevant to what's going on. But if she's, you know, if she's standing next to, this is where observation comes in. If you walk in and there's a big furry couch that, you know, that looks like a cow, you know, cow colored couch.
Yeah.
And you come in and say, you know, you can't bring your couch in here. They have furniture here already. So you're basically accusing her of bringing her own couch to the bar. And, you know, you can accuse her of you know, stealing things. Obviously, it would be something, you know, stealing the cutlery is kind of funny because it's, you know, it's something kind of that kleptos do. So accusing her of being a klepto. But especially accusing her of stealing, like, you know, a giant sculpture or something like that, you know, you can accuse her of all being up to no good. And it just sets a kind of fun, playful frame. Yeah. It breaks rapport a little bit, and it's not too risky. The key, as I said, is to really exaggerate it. And we talk about the, you know, exaggeration in the program some more, but that, you know, if it's too small, if it's like, I saw you steal that $5 bill, you know, she might not know you're joking, but if you say, you know, I saw you're here to steal that, you know,
like frog, elephant statue or something.
That elephant statue, exactly.
It's then so funny.
Then she know you're joking. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I was actually I used this one. I was out walking here in Vancouver, and it doesn't snow here very often. So it had snowed, and there was some kids had built snowmen in the field, and I walked by, and there was this cute girl, kind of walking in the same direction as me. So she just passed the field of snowmen. And so I wanted to talk to her. So I said, excuse me, I saw what you did back there. And she looked sort of concerned. And I said, you kicked over those snowmen. And immediately she got it. Because that's the thing is women really love to play into the game that you're setting up.
Yeah. Right? It's exciting.
It's exciting and it's fun. And she wants to keep up. So she started getting into and saying, yeah, I can't help it, you know, I hate snowmen. And then, you know, the conversation went in from there. But it is about engaging her and being playful as well as being playful yourself. Exactly. Rather than, as you say, it just being a performance. So yeah. That's something guys can try. Go out and try accusation humor. And maybe if you're a little nervous to try this, don't try it with the very first thing you say, but start a conversation and maybe a minute or two into it, once you've established that you're not, you know, a threatening guy, toss it in there. But you need to look for the opportunities, right? That's where it starts. And after, you know, you need to keep it top of mind. Otherwise, you forget to do these things. And that's one of the reasons why the program is broken down week by week like this, because I want you to go out and I want you to try this technique for a week and then come back, and then you'll get a new technique to try for a week, and you get a new technique, and you can get really good really quickly if you follow this system.
And so how many weeks are there?
12 weeks. It's a 90-day course.
Okay. And by the end, you're guaranteeing laughter and funniness all around?
Yeah, in a way that is attractive to women.
Okay. I love it. Because even the examples that you were just giving about accusation humor, I was laughing because I know that my husband does those things. Like, yeah. Still. And it's still a way of flirting with me in some way. And I think that in one of our first times that we interacted with each other, I'm sure there were a couple of those. Not that it's like a tactic, but it's like it was fun and playful, and it wasn't over the top where, again, I felt like I was with an entertainer. It was somebody that I admired could come up with something funny in an instant. You know, that he didn't take himself
too seriously.
And you also
know that he's not too afraid of offending you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he doesn't cross that line, but, you know, there's a bit of a risk involved if you accuse a stranger of something. And it's not a huge risk, but a lot of guys are afraid to take even that risk when it's a girl that they put up on a pedestal. You know, you don't accuse her of something because you know, a lot of guys are, you know, kissing up to her.
Right, exactly. That's
so the using high status humor, one of the things, as I mentioned, it was a breakthrough for me. It was partially in the humor, it was partially in the technique, but it was also in what it taught me about, you know, what I could get away with.
Interesting. Okay, right? So yeah, no, definitely. I love that. So can you tell people how to find out more about your program and just tell them where to find you?
Well, I think the best thing is these are people that are coming through your site that I'll give you a link that they can click on.
Perfect.
And I'll send out some free. What I have coming up this week is a bunch of free videos that teach some of the theory behind it, and then some techniques like I just taught you. It's different than what I just taught you, but some other things that you can take out and use. And I'll get you to send those out to your people so that they can enjoy it through you.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for talking with me. This was great.
Thanks, Marnie. It's good to chat.
Yes.